Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Tea Talks with Alex. Today's episode is episode 3 of Quiet on the Set. I'm going to be honest with you. This was a hard episode for me to sit through. Emotionally, and I'm going to try not to get on rants about certain things because, again, when I was watching this, I was getting frustrated by adult behavior. That were around these children. It seemed like there seems to be a lot of adult behavior that were willing to look the other way or willing to compromise or willing to pretend that they don't see anything. And that part was really frustrating for me. And I'm going to touch on something in here as well, kind of about co-parenting and like that stuff. So just a warning now. I also want to address something in regards to Drake Bell himself before I continue. There's been a lot of discussion about what exactly happened with the minor girl and him. And I just want to clarify that he was charged with child endangerment. Yes, there were other things in the situation, but it was found out that she lied, that she was the one stalking him, and that once he found out her age, he stopped. So I feel like that's important because I was even frustrated a little bit with Alexis Nicholas's interview with Trish, and I don't usually comment on Trish, but I feel like I need to. Like, she was talking about how, like, he was being friends with minors. Like, you didn't look up the case at all. Like, he didn't befriend this girl because she was a minor. She lied about her age. And it ended up not being founded that he was inappropriate with her at all. He was just charged with child endangerment. And he took accountability for it. And he's taken action steps to change. And I think that's all that we can ask for. And he is now a father. So, like, you know, like, just stop. Like, I don't feel like that needs to be talked about anymore, considering he was, in fact, everything else was unfounded. He was charged with child endangerment. So I just wanted to make that clear before I continue. I also kind of wanted to address, as I was filming this episode and as I was filming the previous episode, a recent interview with Chris Massey came out on Raven Simone's podcast with her wife, I believe. And I just felt that it was, like, really just, I feel like Chris dismisses what happened a lot. And, you know, he, like, blames it on the fact that, like, the parents weren't present. And it's, like, first of all, we don't know what we would do in their situation. And second of all, like, in multiple cases, when I was watching this documentary, there were parents present, and there were parents that were vocal, and there were parents that just didn't know what to do with that information and who to, in some instances, didn't know who to report it to because it may have been borderline, you know, verbally abusive. But when you have people at the top that are unwilling to, and I'm not even talking about Dan, that are unwilling to hear anything bad about Dan or about Brian, you have a bigger pool of a situation. So that's kind of where I wanted to go. And then at the end of this, I'm also going to, not at the end of this one, the next episode talks a lot about letters of support. So I'm really going to dive into some people next one. Before we kind of go there. And I'm also going to talk a little bit at the end about Josh Peck as well, because I feel like we need to have a conversation there about that. Okay. So it starts off by saying that Drake and Josh premieres in January 2004, which I was sitting there and I was thinking about it because I was trying to remember when I started watching Drake and Josh. And I felt like that was accurate, but not inaccurate. It's important to note that up until this point, Drake Bell was the undisclosed minor in Brian Peck's case. He has never spoken publicly about what happened till now. And I feel that's important to mention because he is 40 years old, which means that he has been carrying this for a decade. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about why didn't they come out sooner? Why didn't they say something sooner? And as somebody who's been through something similar, all I'm going to say is that it's easy to say you're going to do something or you're going to, like, it's easy to say, like, why didn't you say something sooner? It takes years to get to the point where you even want to tell anyone. Like, it truly takes years. And it's not easy to, you know, be this sort of thing. So I just want to make that clear. So Brian was the dialect coach and also Pickle Boy on the Amanda Show. Pickle Boy was all that in the dialect coach on the Amanda Show, as I believe is correct. I watched this a while ago, so I'm like kind of taking... No, I was taking notes really relatively quickly. It's important to note that Brian got along with everybody because I feel there's a misconception with predators and with people who do these sorts of acts. And I don't think people realize that, again, when you're assaulted, it's usually by somebody you know, not necessarily somebody you don't know. Our ideas of what a child predator looks like or things are not always the way that they actually are. Like, the person who did harm to me appeared to be a normal human being. Like, I didn't see it for what it was. And neither did those around me. So I just feel like that's important to mention because I feel that, like, there is a common misconception that we would know if something was off, and that's not always the case. So, things started to kind of, in my opinion, seem abnormal but not abnormal. But, you know, he started to go to Brian's house for sessions under Drake's dad's supervision, which I love Drake's dad in this documentary. I see a lot of guilt on his part, and when I see how Brian was able to do what he did and how he was kind of just enabled and the wool was pulled over his eyes, I don't blame Drake's dad for what happened. I will say that I do have a little bit of a gripe with his mother, but I don't blame her because she's not the one who did harm. It's easy for me to say as a mom in that situation that I would never let my child around somebody like this, but it's really not that black and white. And when I first watched it, I'll admit I did have that feeling. But now, kind of sitting here in this like episode, I'm realizing that's not always the case. But I do have a little bit of a gripe with her. So I just want to make that clear before we get there because it's going to sound like I'm super harsh to her. Drake mentions that, like, Brian and Drake had a lot in common, which to some people is like, why does a 40-year-old have so much in common with a child? But, you know, it really depends on the interests of the child, not excusing the behavior. Just really depends on the interests. Like, my interests are different than most people my age, and it's not because I'm into, like, super, like, you know, Harry Potter is my favorite, and there's kids being introduced to Harry Potter every day, so it's like I can see where things may overlap with adults and children. So around this time is when Drake's dad was seeing things about, like, Brian hanging around Drake all the time, Brian touching his arms, Brian, you know, just being a little weird with a child is how I'm going to word it. Because at this point, for all intents and purposes, we knew nothing was going on. So, like, Brian was being weird, like, touching his arm, hanging around him too much, showing up at his shows, just being, like, weird and creepy for his age. And Drake's dad said something, because it didn't sit right with him, that this was going on with his child and the adult. He opened his mouth and said something. The thing that I find interesting about that is that when he opened his mouth and said something, the adults in the room looked at Drake's dad and said, "You're homophobic." And that's why you have an issue with this, because Brian's gay. Here's my issue with that sentence. At the end of the day, I do not care if you're gay, straight, bi, non-binary, whatever. If you are inappropriate with a child, none of that should ever matter. The response when you are a parent coming to people who are supposed to protect your child and say, because he went to Nickelodeon, that the response was, "Brian is gay and you're homophobic," should have never come out of any executive's mouth. My response would have been, "Why do you feel that something's going on?" Like, in my opinion, Drake's dad bringing that to the attention of executives and those around him at Nickelodeon was the first time Nickelodeon failed Drake. Because if they would have taken the time to look at the situation, maybe something could have been prevented. But instead, Nickelodeon decided to blame it on Drake's dad being homophobic, which is the part for me that irritates me. Because again, it should not matter your sexual orientation. If you are being inappropriate with a child and you are a 40-year-old man, somebody needs to address you. Somebody needs to deal with you. And in my opinion, I don't even care if at that point he went to jail, because we don't know that he was actually physically doing anything with Drake besides touching him, according to his father, and like rubbing his arm and being just inappropriate. He should have been fired. In that moment, he should have been fired. When Drake's dad brought it to the attention of the executives and those at Nickelodeon, he should have been fired. He was not fired. And that, to me, again, is where Nickelodeon failed. To protect Drake. Because at the end of the day, Nickelodeon was making a kid's show with kids' actors. Their responsibility was the child, which was Drake in that moment, not the adult. And they chose the adult to ignore the creepy behavior and not address it. And then pretend and then make Drake's dad the problem. And again, that for me is an issue. And I would really, really love for someone at Nickelodeon to come out and be like, "You know what, Drake's dad, we handled that wrong. I'm sorry. We owe you an apology." We're going to talk about Nickelodeon's statement too at some point about this documentary. Haven't decided if I'm going to do this episode or next episode, because to be honest with you, Nickelodeon's response to it really irritates me. And when we talk about the letters, we're going to talk about, which is in the next episode, I believe. Let me see my notes for a second. Yes, we're going to talk about Ryder Strong's response and a few other people's responses to the letters coming out, but we're not there yet. But again, I just feel like Nickelodeon handled that wrong. Like, as a parent and as somebody who's in the workforce, I would hope, and somebody who's like child goes to school, I would hope that if I went to an adult that was in charge of my kid for 6 hours when I wasn't really present, I mean, he was present, but like, I would hope in that situation, if I was in the room and I saw what I saw and I went to an adult and been like, "Hey, that was inappropriate," I would hope somebody would turn around and look at me and be like, "You know what? Let's talk. I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to figure out what's going on there." Like, even if my child wouldn't have told them what was going on, like, at least acknowledge that like a 40-year-old man was touching my child. Like, that should have been the response. And instead, they again blamed it on Drake's dad being homophobic, which I feel is a big issue, especially for those of us, especially for those that are gay, like those that are gay, bisexual, and like, you know, non-binary and all these other things. Like, if you saw a 40-year-old man touching a child and you heard somebody tell the straight parent in that equation that they were homophobic, like, would you not have an issue with that? Like, I feel like a lot of you would because it's a child. But maybe I'm wrong. Like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm the crazy one for feeling that way. I don't know. You tell me. So, it's important to note that Drake was really excited for Drake and Josh. You know, he was really, really excited about it. This is kind of around the time that they wanted Drake's, where Brian and like Drake and Drake's mom were kind of like co-conspiring to like make dad the problem after he talked to like Nickelodeon and was like, he shouldn't be your manager. He's going to ruin like your chances, all these things. So that's kind of around when it started. But it started to get like, Brian started going to his concerts, started getting extracurriculars, like going to Disneyland, like doing things with a minor that he shouldn't have been doing. And, you know, he didn't really start being alone with Brian until after his dad was out of the equation, which we're going to talk about in a second. His dad found like a bunch of inappropriate birthday cards from like Brian's friends, and like he did raise alarm bells. And really, Drake's dad really did try to like raise alarm bells about something's not right with Brian, but like he was constantly dismissed by people. So when Drake's dad started making things difficult, Brian decided that he was going to drive a wedge between Drake and his dad. You know, and that's when their kind of relationship was destroyed. Like, Brian single-handedly destroyed a relationship between his father and him over his dad being extremely aware that Brian was being inappropriate with his son. He didn't know to what extent, but he knew something was off. And he constantly tried to, like, not be. Now, this is where I get mad at Drake's mom. And I know Drake has defended his mom recently, but you know what? I struggle with her. Okay? So, this is when Drake's dad is told that Drake doesn't want him to be his manager anymore and everything else that like comes with it. So Drake's dad said, you can have all the money, you can manage him, you can do whatever you want, but please, please, please do not let our son be alone with Brian Peck. Now, so that is what he said. And then this is when she decides that she doesn't want to take him to auditions. She doesn't want to drive. She doesn't want to do all these things. So Brian starts doing what his dad was doing, driving him to auditions. He's staying the night. And this is where I get mad at Drake's mother, because I'm not going to speculate to know her ex-husband's relationship with her because they were divorced. But from what Drake says, it was a very tumultuous relationship. And I can't help but feel like she heard her ex-husband say, don't leave Brian alone with him, and ignored him because she was mad at him for past decisions, past behavior, you know, things of that nature. Because I just have a hard time believing that, I don't know, maybe because I'm in a co-parenting situation, even though he's not really involved, I would hope that if I went to my son's father or my son's grandparents, if I said, hey, listen, you can do what you want, but please don't leave him alone with so-and-so, that they would look at me and be like, okay, something's not right. This is where I say you have to love your child more than you hate your ex. Because if that was me, if my child's father, who's never involved, comes up to me and says, hey, don't leave him alone with that man, I'm not leaving him alone with that man. Because why is my child's father saying that to me? What about that? What about the situation is setting off alarm bells in my son's father's head that something's not right? This is why I struggle with Drake's mother. And I know he has come out and defended her. And I know that it's easy for me to say this because I wasn't in that situation. But I can't help but feel like she was being a petty little girl about the situation and chose to ignore her ex-husband and put her son at risk because she didn't want to do something. Like, that's, I just can't help but feeling that that's the way that it is. Now, Drake's mother has not made a statement. Drake's mother has not talked about it. She was not part of the documentary. So I don't know what was going on in her head. I can only speculate. But as a mother, I can't help but feel like in a co-parenting situation with an ex that she truly does not like anymore, I can't help but feel like she was being petty. Listen, my ex is not my favorite human being. My ex is not my favorite human being. To be honest with you, he annoys the crap out of me. But if he came to me and said, hey, don't leave our son with that person, I'm not leaving my son with that person. Like, that's just my opinion. And Drake notes how one morning, trigger warning, please, sexual assault talk. Drake, one morning, everything changed, he said, and that he knew his life would be different. And this is when he was sexually assaulted. He talks about being stuck in a situation that he can't really get out of. This man is helping him. His mother doesn't know all these things. It became a secret he held onto, and he just, like, was basically, from how he explains it, like, became a robot of a person and just kind of went through it. And despite his ability, despite how he couldn't say he didn't want to go over there, he couldn't say those things out loud. Like, he just couldn't do it. And he ended up getting back there, and it just kept getting worse and worse and worse for him in the Brian situation. And, you know, he reiterates that it was not a one-time thing or an oops on Brian's part. It was very, very much a regular thing. And this next part is where I get more frustrated with Drake's mother. And it was a big giant secret. He got a girlfriend when he was 16. And, you know, he mentions how it took the girlfriend's mother 6 seconds to catch on to what was going on with Brian and Drake. Okay. So he talks about how he started getting calls at his girlfriend's house because he was supposed to go to Darien Lake with, Disneyland with Brian. He was like blowing up Drake's phone. When Drake stopped answering, he started calling the girlfriend's house in response to that situation. The girlfriend's mom looked at Drake and said, hey, could I talk to you for a minute? And she was like, what's going on? And like, Drake made an excuse. And then the girlfriend's mom was like, no, this 40-year-old man is calling my son's girlfriend, my son's boyfriend. Like, something's not right with this equation, and he's calling. And she kind of was just like, you need to go to a therapist, and like all these other things. And, you know, he got him help. This was the first person that really was like, something's not right, and I'm gonna get you help. And Drake played it off, you know, as nothing happened. And I think that this is, again, important because this woman knew something wasn't right and intervened and said something to Drake's mother. And I just don't understand, if you're an active parent and so if some, I would have, I noticed when something's off with my son emotionally, even though he's not verbal enough to tell me what's going on. Like, I know when something's not right. So, like, to say that you wouldn't notice, I just find it hard to believe. Like, again, I struggle with Drake's mother. Drake talks about how Brian was trying to convince Drake to convince Dan to let him be the dad on Drake and Josh. And then he talks about how one day he just exploded and told his mom on the phone everything that happened to him. You know, and as somebody who's been through it, there comes a point where you just, sometimes inadvertently to someone else, you just explode and you just tell them what happened, and it's a lot. He talks about how, like, the investigation was difficult and he had to go into a lot of detail, which I think is why a lot of people, like, don't come forward, is you really do have to go through this whole, like, in detail, like, a lot of detail about what happened. And then he had to make a phone call to get Brian to admit what he did, which I thought was interesting, because usually I haven't heard of very many sexual abuse cases where they use the child to get the person to say that that's what they did. I'm not a criminology, I'm not a lawyer, so I just found that interesting. It took a couple times, but he got a full confession from him. And he did ask Drake if he was recording him, which I thought was interesting that, you know, Drake was talking to him. Drake was trying to get him to, like, say that he did what he did. And then he asked him if he was being recorded. So, like, I wonder if Brian already knew that, like, Drake and his mom had went to the police and somebody told Brian that he went to the police. You know, I thought that was interesting. And then he got arrested for what he did to Drake. And I think it's important to note that Drake, even though his phone was going off, he was hoping that nobody knew it was actually him that it happened to. And I found this interesting because this is where things kind of are, like, you know, Dan was a horrible human being, so was two people, and this is kind of where I say, like, different people had different experiences with Dan. Because then Dan called Drake and asked him point blank if it was him. And Drake said yes, and he said, you don't have to talk about it any further. I do think that is interesting to note, because Dan just automatically knew who it was because he had seen Brian and Drake together. And the fact that he was the only person from Nickelodeon that called Drake or had any sort of support or whatever for Drake is a big deal in my mind. Like, how do you not, like, I understand that, like, he was a minor and it was just undisclosed, but, like, part of me can't help but feel, because Drake mentions this in another episode, that, like, Hollywood's small. How do you not know it's him? Like, and he also, because I want to make sure I make this clear, he has also said that to those that Dan has hurt, he does need to apologize to. And I think that's important because, yes, you can defend Dan. Like, there's a lot of people coming out of the woodwork defending Dan. But I think it's important to know that just because you didn't have that relationship with Dan Schneider where he was mean and abusive to you doesn't mean that others didn't. And I like the fact that Drake has always said Dan should apologize, because he should apologize for what he did. At the end of the day, he should apologize. So there's that. And then he talks about how Drake's dad had no idea, and that it wasn't until they rekindled the relationship with each other that he disclosed what actually happened to him. You know, I will say it's important that Nickelodeon, kind of the response after Brian was arrested and all of this came out, was business as usual again, and Drake and Josh began filming. Like, there was no other situation he talks about how, like, he didn't know how to process, he went through a lot of self-destructive behavior, and he was left to his own devices, which, again, I feel is important because, you know, it seems to be an ongoing theme with these child actors. After a certain point, they're left to their own devices. And some go one way, some go another. And it's really, really a shame. So I just want to address Josh Peck before we end this episode. I know that Josh has had issues. Josh and Drake's relationship isn't the same. And when he had legal problems and went to rehab, Josh distanced himself. But his response to Quiet on the Set and his response to Dan Schneider, for me, is annoying. Again, you can have a good relationship with somebody and also admit that what you went through and what someone else went through are two different things. I don't think Josh can get there with the Dan stuff. I will say that I respect that he reached out to Drake privately. I hope that Josh can get to an understanding of what exactly happened and what was allowed to happen and how some of Drake's behavior in the past is correlated to what happened to him. And that's all I'm going to say on Josh. I just feel like Josh gets really defensive of Nickelodeon, and that's fine. But, like, because the reason why I say that is because the whole Drake thing. And then he had a whole, like, podcast episode with Jeanette McCurdy, and she pulled it. And I can't help but feel that she pulled it because of his defense of Dan. So that is episode 3. Episode 4, I'm going to get a little heated about some people. So bear with me in episode 4. But yeah, so I hope you guys are enjoying this recap. I'm enjoying talking about it. I feel like it's an important conversation to have. And I definitely want to, like, have conversations. I have some dream podcast people to have on. So maybe one day that'll happen. But we'll see. So yeah, so I hope you guys have a great day, and yeah, I'll see you guys in episode 4.